Chapter 3 The Monastery Garden. It was a week later. The doctor had come up again from the town below and re-examined the cripple. He and Brother Anselm had then held a consultation. It was decided that the patient might now be moved. Brother Anselm was telling him. The cripple, however, did not seem enthused with the idea.
"I was wondering," he said rather wistfully, "if I might be allowed to stay on for a bit."
"There would be no difficulty as far as we are concerned," replied Brother Anselm. "It is you I am considering. Don't you think you might be rather bored? We are a bit religious here, you know. Of course, if you feel you can stick it."
"Can you stick me?"
A big brown hand was held out. The cripple took it, shyly, eagerly.
"I want to stay, if I'm not a burden."
Something in the answering grip told him that he would not be a burden here, not one of the unwanted. Brother Anselm stood looking at him for a moment and then turned away and, for no apparent reason, began to examine the bookshelf. He was blinking. And so it came about that the cripple stayed on. It was now full summer. The icy wind from the Alps no longer whistled and screamed under the eaves of the monastery roof. Instead, the sun poured down invitingly. Through his window, the cripple could see the snows of the mountains glistening white to its blaze. One day, there arrived a kind of long wheelchair on wheels, an ambulance. Next day, the cripple was lying in it, in the monastery garden. And there, from now onwards, it became his custom to spend the long summer hours. It was very beautiful in the garden. Flowers of gorgeous colors and scents patterned great carpets of green. There were trees, too, in clumps for the wind's whisperings. From their shade, he could see the grassy slopes giving way to fields, and the fields to the gray of the rocky valley, and, far away, the hazy plains of Italy. On either side, there towered the great white Alps. It was here one morning that Brother Anselm sat, reading to him. A gorgeous morning. Insects droned and buzzed in the quivering heat all around. The tune of some nearby stream tinkled its way over pebbles and rocks. There were birds on the wing and their songs in the sun. There was peace. Brother Anselm became aware that he had lost his audience. He stopped reading. It brought the other back from his reverie.
"Sorry, I'm awfully rude. I was thinking about something."
Brother Anselm put down the book and turned toward him. He noticed there was a difference in the cripple's appearance. He was no longer unkempt. He was shaved, and his hair was glistening and brushed well back. These matters had been neglected at first. His good looks were very apparent again.
"May I talk to you about something?"
"Fire away." The cripple considered how to make a start.
"Well, first, you must have thought me an awful cad."
"Cut it, man, cut it.
No, but really..."
"That's all over. Next, please."
"I say, it's beastly good of you to..."
"Shut up. Get on with it." The cripple gave up.
"This is what I want to say. I've been having a sort of thinking things out, and I'm beginning to see that it's no good despairing and going mad. It seemed at first as if it was the end of everything. I suppose it is in one sense. I mean that other life, that hectic life, is over. Finished. I still feel muddled and confused. Uprooted. Things seemed so cruel. So horribly cruel."
"I know," said Brother Anselm. "I know."
"And yet, life can't be altogether cruel. All this isn't cruel." He indicated the garden. "It's amazingly beautiful. You're not cruel. You're..."
The cripple swallowed.
"I mean, there's a lot of goodness and beauty in the world, and that's what I'm beginning to see. But why, this is what I can't see, why should there be so much ugliness, so much pain and suffering mixed up with it all? It seems one huge contradiction."
Brother Anselm gazed at the alpine snows as if seeking an inspiration. He stood up and moved the cripple's ambulance away from the green arbor until the whole mountain range lay bare before them, ridge upon ridge, sweeping up into the vast white stretches, steepling into peaks against the blue of heaven. He pointed.
You see those dark patches of rock? They bring out the whiteness of the snow, don't they? They add to the beauty of the mountains. Don't you think, in the same way, that the ugly patches in the world, the dark patches of pain and suffering, might bring out the goodness of life? Might add to its beauty? The cripple studied the mountains.
Yes, I see. Yes.
Is what has happened to you really an unmitigated disaster? Said the monk. Is it really a cruel horror? Why shouldn't it add to your life in some way? It has cut you off from a great deal, yes, including that hectic life as you call it, from animal pleasures, from the inane futilities, the silly shams of a world that dares not think, that jazzes along on its brainless round of shows and drinks and lusts, a lunatic's dance of death. It has cut you off from all that. It has left a void. Don't you think that possibly that void may be a good thing?
How?
Why? Because voids can be filled. Brother Anselm wheeled the ambulance back into the shade. The cripple did not say anything. His eyes were still upon the mountains. You tried to escape from life. You ran amok, went off the deep end, because you thought there was nothing left.
You mean there is something more? Something to fill the void?
How am I to fill it?
That depends on yourself.
The cripple saw that Brother Anselm meant it to be left at that. He returned to his former point.
Tell me, why should there be ugly things at all? Why should there be pain and suffering? It's all such a mystery. Couldn't things have been managed better? Couldn't... Hello? Who?
Brother Anselm looked up. A figure was coming towards them.
It's the optimist, said the cripple.